All right, now that you're at Malachi 3, hold your place and let's go back to Numbers 18. Numbers 18. And let's see something. Let's come back here to Numbers 18. Now, the reason that God defines concerning the things that grow out of the ground and animals differently than he would the things taken out of the ground, such as copper and brass and gold and silver and oil and things like this, is because it's very easy to figure 10% of that. Very easy. But here, what goes to the priest, and he defines it, what goes to the Levites, and he defines it, and why he does it, and let's understand this, that the tithe belongs to God. Now, we'll cover Hebrews 7 a little bit later, but let's come here to verse 20. And let's see what God says. Verse 20, Numbers 18. And then we'll go to Malachi 3 because we're talking about what God gave to them. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Now, what does that mean? Well, when they divided the land, as you will read, they separated out cities for the Levites. And the Levites were to live there. And they had their own agricultural area around it so that they could have their own food and so forth, and that those were not to be taken away from the Levites. Now, the inheritance that the other tribes received was a geographical area of land, as you find defined on how they separated the land during the days of Joshua. So it would be like this. It would be that they were given what we would call an equivalent of a state for a tribe. And no state was given to the Levite. He was given instead cities within those states. So there would be Levites spread out among all the tribes of Israel. Now, to compensate them for that, since they didn't have any land that they would own, verse 21, and behold, I've given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel. Now, that's important to understand, all the tenth or the tithe. Now, does he differentiate it when he says all the tithe? No, that means everything that is tithable. Now, let's also understand why this belongs to God, because he gave it. God is not going to give something that doesn't belong to him. For an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Then he goes down here and tells a little bit more about it. Now, let's come here to verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering. Now, let me just mention here. Now, verse 24, once again, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord. Now, heave offering is a very, very unusual statement, because if you dedicated land to God, that was also counted as a heave offering. If you gave money, that was counted as a heave offering. If you gave an animal for sacrifice, say for a burnt offering, that was a heave offering. So the term heave offering is a general statement which applies to anything to do with tithing and offering. Which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I've given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I've said to them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say to them, when you take the tithes of the children of Israel, which I've given to you for your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. So they were required to tithe as well. Now, just for people's inquiring minds, we tithe. and we tithe well beyond the tenth. Now, verse 27, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that that includes more than animals. It includes more than the tithing of the grain and of the wine. Verse 28, thus shall you offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Now notice verse 29, very important thing that a lot of people overlook. And of all your gifts you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord. Now what do you mean gifts? Well, these would be the things in the way of money that people would give to the Levites in the way of tithes, in the way of for services that they would perform for the local community. So you have a bunch of Levites here, say, in the tribe of Manasseh. And you have the population come to them, bring them the tithes and offerings. And then they would also bring the gifts, which then would include gold and silver and, you know, extra things that were not necessarily listed in the way of grain or wine or animals. But notice what it says. Out of all your gifts you shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord, all the best thereof, even the hallowed part out of it. And you shall say unto them, when you have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the wine press. So that is a tithing on things other than just the agricultural products. And so they were to do. Now, come back here to Malachi, the third chapter. Now, first of all, let's come to Malachi, the first chapter, and verse 6. Now, let's see where the priesthood robbed God. Verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, says the Lord? O you priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, which means what? Not according to the commandments of God, defiled or polluted. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. We're not satisfied with what God gives us. Just like the two sons of Eli, remember that? Hophni and Phinehas, what did they do? They misappropriated things to themselves right when they brought it to offer so they could take it their way rather than God's way. Well, here it goes even further. They would keep the best to themselves, and he says here, verse 8, for if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And see, they weren't doing it according to the way that God said. You didn't have a blemish. You couldn't do it with one with scurvy, one that is blind, and so forth. Now, if on the tithe, after you give the first fruits, the tithe of the herd and the flock would pass through the chute, and every tenth one would go to God. So in that case, if it were lame, then that would be acceptable as a tithe. But it wouldn't be acceptable as a burnt offering. So what they did, they kept all the best and gave all the lame, all the blind, and so forth. So he says, now look, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. You go to the governor and you say, okay, here's this runt of a cow that's really worthless, but I'm going to give it to you as a gift. Now, you wouldn't quite say it that way, see, you know. Offer it to the governor, will he be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, says the Lord of hosts? Now, here's the lesson that we have here. Anything that we do that is contrary to the word of God in worship and service of God and keeping his commandments, if we do it our way instead of God's way, it's by our means, isn't it? Now, where did that first begin? Anybody remember? Cain, that's correct. Cain, the reason why God didn't accept his offering, because he didn't do it according to God's instructions. He wanted to do it by his means in his way. So this becomes very important. If we try and do things our way, just take, for example, Sunday keeping. Go to the Lord and say, hey, this is great. God says, that's not my day. That's by your means, not mine. Same way with tithes and offerings. Verse 10, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for nothing? See, God had the doorkeepers. They were paid. And please understand this. When you really understand what was at the temple with the gold and silver and everything, it was the banking center of the Jewish world. And there was great wealth that was there because they had tithes coming in the form of money. Now continuing, neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering from your hand. See, it all has to be according to the way that God has commanded. Now, we'll cover this a little later, so we're obviously not going to do this in one sermon, so we'll do this in two. But what I want to do is go through these things and understand what we are dealing with here that's important. Verse 12. But you have profaned it, and you say, the temple of the Lord is polluted, or the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you snuffed at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Now, when you get into the terms of today's tithes and offerings, if you do away with tithes and offerings, are you not in spiritual principle doing the same thing? You're bringing God what's left over. And pretty soon, you have nothing left over. Because that's a living principle that happens, as we will see. Because you don't believe God. And you don't take up God on his promise or his challenge. He says, should I accept this at your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which has a flock, a male and vows and sacrifices unto the Lord, a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So here's what happens. Now, I want you to think about this in relationship to the churches of God that don't believe in tithing, the churches of God where they steal tithes, the ministry that is, the churches of God where the brethren steal tithes because they look at the wrong that the ministers are doing and decide, well, I'm not going to send anything. Now, if you're in a situation like that, what you better do is tithe and put it in a bank and let God direct you where you ought to send it. But nevertheless, don't take it from God, because notice what happens here. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. Now, this also applies to the ministry, doesn't it? We can go through the New Testament and we can look at the qualifications for an elder. We can look at what he needs to do, how he needs to handle it, and so forth. And he says, if you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, says the Lord of hosts, that I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed it already because you did not lay it to heart. And this is what happens. Now, we'll talk about this in just a little bit when we get to chapter 3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, I will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. Now, he's not here really talking about tithes and offerings directly, but the whole thing of the abuse of authority for those who are to teach the people, correct? Yes. And I've had people write in today and say, well, we went to the Feast of Tabernacles, we didn't hear one word about the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. Or we went to the Days of Unleavened Bread, didn't hear one thing concerning about the Days of Unleavened Bread or the meaning of it, you see. Well, that's exactly the same thing that is here. So what they are getting the dung of men's ideas about what they're preaching. Exactly the same thing today. And you shall know that I sent this commandment unto you, and that my covenant might be with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And it was. Now, what is the covenant that is with those who are ministers and teachers today that God makes? Well, we find it in 1 Timothy 3. We find it in Matthew 20. How is those who serve the people to be? To be a servant of all, not a lord over. To be one who gives, not an extractor. To give one to teach the word of God in truth and not in fables. So we have the same principle that carries over there. And my covenant was with him for life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. And iniquity was not found in his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from peace and equity, rather, and did turn many away from iniquity. So this is what we are to do. I mean, you can find the parallels in the New Testament, right? Yes, indeed. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they that seek the law at my mouth. And they should seek the law at my mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, that's what he was to do. But notice what happens here. So here we have misbehavior by the priest, and then we have the same kind of misbehavior by the ministers today. And, of course, it's been down through history. And I know one thing that is interesting, which I'm doing a study on for my own personal study, because it says, you that teach the law, don't you teach yourself? See, so we have to teach ourselves. And one of the things was mentioned to me by someone, which is this. Isn't it interesting that when you go through and study the lives of the kings and so forth, that they made gigantic mistakes toward the end of their life? Now, you think about that. And so I'm studying on that, and my prayer to God is, God, however long I live, please don't let me fall into that pattern. I mean, you can look what happened to David. He was probably 50 when he had the affair with Bathsheba. And then he was probably about 65 when he numbered Israel. Then you look at Solomon, and in his old age. Then you look at Hezekiah, who did great works for God. And he was ready to die. God gave him 15 years to celebrate. When the ambassadors from Babylon came over, he showed him all the wealth and everything that was in the kingdom. Didn't hide anything. And he became so foolish and selfish that after God gave him another 15 years to live, and then God said, all right, since you have done this, you're going to have punishment come upon the people, but not in your lifetime. And he says, well, that's good. I'll have peace in my lifetime. So he turned out to be very self-centered and not thinking about it in advance. And what happened? How were they punished? Anybody remember? Who was his son? Manasseh. 455 years. Now, what's happened to the Church of God because the self-proclaimed leader of the church was foolish in his old age? The church no longer exists. See, all the wealth and everything that they had, instead of serving God, they became vain in it and served themselves. So I need to let that be indelibly burned in my mind, because maybe there's something as we get older that we become more susceptible to making those kinds of mistakes, see? So we just need to be, upfront about it and understand it here. All right. Now here's what happened. Verse 8. But you are departed out of the way. And, of course, the way of the Lord includes everything, doesn't it? All of his commandments, all his statutes, all his judgments and everything. You have caused many to stumble at the law and get mad and angry and disillusioned and turn off and leave God. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. We could say the same thing, the covenant of the ministry for the Church of God today. Therefore, I have made you contemptible and base before all the people. Also, that can apply to all of the Protestant ministers, right? And you turn on the television and you look at their contemptible and base performances that they have. I know I was channel surfing and I saw Jimmy Swaggart, who got caught with adultery, and he cries at a drop of a hat, and he was getting all people worked up in a frenzy with his preaching, and he was pacing back and forth, and then I flipped off of it and came back again. Then he was running around on that huge stage up front, and I thought, doesn't that fit this? It's contemptible. What terrible behavior, see? Does that honor God? No. Causes people who see it, maybe they're interested in God, but they look at that and say, how can that be of God? This is nonsense, see? Therefore, he says, I will make you contemptible and base before all the people according as you have not kept my ways and have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Have not all one God? Has not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? And it talks about Judah has dealt treacherously. And then he talks about here why he hates divorce. And I'll just have to mention here, divorce has been a terrible problem within the Church of God. And divorce and remarriage has been abused because of contemptible ministers. Now, let's come over here to chapter 3. Now, let's also understand that this is not only instruction, but it is also prophecy. Malachi 3 and verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, who is he talking about? John the Baptist and himself as he came as Jesus Christ, correct? Messenger of the covenant. So he was bringing the new covenant, correct? In whom you delight, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Then he talks about here, who's able to abide the day of his coming. So we go, now we have verse 1, we have the first coming. Verse 2, we have the second coming. Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Now he literally did that with the priests and Levites there in the first century. But did they repent? No. So he says here, come down to verse 5, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. Now, all of those things have happened within the church of God, haven't they? I mean, if you've been in the church of God 30 years, you've seen all of that parade before your eyes, haven't you? Now, verse 6 is a key. For I am the Lord, I change not. That's important to understand. Now, we'll cover that a little bit later, but keep that in mind. What is he talking about here next? Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Verse 7. Now we start talking about the abuses of the children of Israel. So first of all, he starts out and corrects the priests. Then he gives a projection forward to the coming of Christ. And let's see what he does here now. Verse 7. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Now remember what we read in Deuteronomy 8? When all your wealth is increased and everything that you have is multiplied, you forget God? Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Now, if the tithes and offerings do not belong to God, then there would be no robbery, correct? If someone steals your neighbor's car, he hasn't taken anything from you, has he? Because you don't own it. So same thing, if there are no tithes and offerings, you can't steal it. That becomes an important thing because we're dealing with a principle that God also deals with, which is this. Put your money where your mouth is. Isn't that correct? Yes. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So things happen when you don't take care of God's part of the wealth that you have. Even though today it's kind of an illusionary wealth. Because it's based on debt. I mean, if you take out any paper money and looked at it, that's what the New Testament calls script. It says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. As long as you have a psychological value of it, that's what it's worth. But even then, we still have increase, don't we? Yes, we do. We'll cover that here in just a little bit. So what does he say? Verse 10, bring all the tithe, which includes what? That means anything that is of wealth, which we covered in Deuteronomy 8. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, some people say, well, that's just for grain and things. Well, let me tell you very clearly. At the temple, they had areas where they stored grain. They had areas where they stored silver and gold and many other things that people brought that they would tithe and give offerings on. Okay. So all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now God says here, prove me, test me. That's why God honors tithing of anyone who tithes. Anyone who gives offering. Now, Satan knows this. It's an important thing to understand. Many of even the Protestants are blessed in their tithing because that is a promise that God has given. So it crosses even knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, and to the best of their ability, if that's all they know, God will bless them. And you can say, God, I'm going to prove you. Now, you can't withhold and ask God to bless you, ask God to prove himself before you respond to God. See, God is the one, is not the one who left. People are the one who left God. So we prove him. Now notice, verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now there are many devourers. Many. What's one of the big devourers that people have today with the plastic money and credit cards? Interest. What is another devourer? A lot of things. Poor health. Spend all your money. Now, the woman that said to this other woman, well, years ago, you don't have to tithe. I can tell you exactly what happened to them. They ended up spending all their money on excess doctor bills because they left off tithing to God. See, the choice is in our hands. It's not for ministers to extract from people. And by the way, I don't receive tithes. The church does. And as I mentioned, I receive a salary from it. And we'll see that's how Paul did it. All right, now notice. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Now let's just look at modern Israel today, and let's just apply this. Has this happened? Are we cursed in the ground? Are we cursed in the cities? See, because if you remember God in tithes and offerings and you give of what you have, you're also going to be more bound to remember the rest of his commandments. Isn't that true? Yes. And if you prove God, he will answer you. But what has happened? We've become selfish, self-consumed, spending every dime that we have as a nation on buying things. There isn't even a savings rate worth to amount to anything, less than 1%. Why? Because we're cursed with a curse. And we were, in the 80s, the leading lending nation of the world. Now in 2000, we're the greatest debtor that the world has ever seen. And all of that is a curse. So the moral of the story is this. If you take from God what is his, he's going to take from you what is his and what also is yours. Both. Now notice verse 13, because this is not an isolation. You need to take the whole chapter. Your words against me have been stout. Oh, we don't need to do this. We can offer the lame. We can offer the blind. We can offer the second hand. We don't have to tithe. We don't have to offer. See? Says the Lord. Yet you say, wherein have we spoken so much against you? You have said, it's vain to serve the Lord or to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? So they begin to look out in the world, as one of the Psalms says, which we'll cover next time, and look at all of the wicked who prosper in their way and say, look, I'm struggling here. I need all these things. Well, God promised sufficiency. So you say, now we call the proud happy, yea, that have they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Now what do we have in the next verse, and we'll end it here. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. Now, if you fear the Lord, what do? You love God, you keep His commandments, you give the tithes and offerings, you walk in the commandments of God, you live your life according to the way of God, correct? Yes, indeed. And the Lord hearkened, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. So what does this come down to? It comes down also to eternal life, doesn't it? And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I make up my jewels. And God is making up a crown for you, isn't He? And God, as we're going to see next time, is going to give you the true wealth. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serves God and him that serves him not. And part of serving God is keeping His commandments concerning tithes and offerings. Now, we'll cover this in the New Testament a little more next time. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, postal code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242 Waihi, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624 Wilrow, Wilro Park, postal code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224 Witham, postal code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.